This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are beginning this new series Akhlaq of the Ummati, the manners and the behavior of the Ummati of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conferred a great favor upon us that He made us Muslims, and that He made us Muslims in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Anybody who was born and who lived in the time of any of the messengers and prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was an Ummati of that prophet. He was a Muslim, but they were not Ummatis of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are special favors conferred upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided in His wisdom and in His mercy to make us among those who will be the beneficiaries of these special favors. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for His forgiveness, especially at this time when we are in the midst of this enormous crisis, the crisis of the coronavirus. My brothers and sisters, it is a unprecedented crisis. It is a global crisis. It affects everybody wherever we might be, whichever country. Nobody is exempt from this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His protection, for everyone, everywhere, wherever we might be. My brothers and sisters, it is in the midst of all this, there is great hope. And that hope is that we have this unique opportunity as Muslims of showcasing Islam, of showing people what living Islam means, showing people what it means to be an Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why I thought we'll start this new series called Akhlaq of the Ummati. This is supported by my book by the same title, Akhlaq of the Ummati, which is on Amazon. And it's on all software platforms like Kindle and iBooks and so on. It's available free on Amazon. If you like a paper copy, there's some minimal charge which Amazon always charges. This book is based on a set of ayat of Suratul Hujurat, which is a very important surah for us to learn in order to understand the way of living as a Muslim and as an Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not a tafsir of the surah. It's not a tafsir of those ayat. It is lessons from those ayat. So as I was saying, in these times today, on the one hand, we have the problems with the virus and so on and so forth, and the danger it represents. But on the other hand, alhamdulillah, we have also the great mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave us this opportunity to showcase and present Islam to the world in a way which shows them the beauty of this beautiful religion. Islam came to be practiced. Islam didn't come for us to philosophize on it. Islam didn't come for us to just talk about it. Islam came for us to practice it. My brothers and sisters, there was a man who was driving down the street, and he saw children begging at the street corner. The sight always affected him, and he wondered at the inequities of life. "Master," he cried to his teacher, "why doesn't our Creator do something about these people?" "He did," said the Master. "He made you. And that is why I say to myself and I say to you, you are the instrument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Ask yourself, what purpose do you serve? You are the instrument to do what? Look at your own life and say, what is it that I am doing with what Allah has given me? Am I using it to make this world a better place? Am I using this to build some capital for my own akhirah? Sadqatu jariya. Am I doing this to showcase Islam to the rest of the world and show them what a beautiful religion this is? Or am I squandering it? Am I wasting it? Am I doing whatever I'm doing? If there's one word that can claim to sum up the entire question of leadership, it is responsibility. When we choose to take a leadership stance, we choose to hold ourselves responsible. We choose to be held responsible. We say to the world that we are prepared to account for what we say and do, and to be judged by the effects of that. Without the willingness to accept responsibility, there can be no leadership. Accepting of responsibility is called accountability. If there is one thing that ails us today, it is that we don't act on what we know. This is true for everyone, especially for Muslims. Today, as I sit and talk to you here, most of us know enough to enter Jannah without hisab, inshallah, if only we practice what we know. How many of us do not know that praying 5 salah a day is the guarantee for Jannah, inshallah? How many of us have not heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if you haven't heard it, let me tell you about the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have made 5 salawat fard on my slave. If my slave prays those 5 salawat on time, right? If my slave prays those 5 salawat on time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I guarantee him, it is my responsibility on the day of judgment to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. Just the 5 fard salawat, you pray on time, wherever you might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteeing us and saying that he is responsible for us, for forgiving us and for entering us into Jannah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not go back on his promises. We know this. And what do we need to do? Just the 5 salawat. And that is the importance of acting on what we know. And as I said, even if we don't learn anything new from today, what we know is enough to get us Jannah, inshallah. But we don't practice, and so we condemn our lives, ourselves, to a life of misery in this world. And if Allah doesn't forgive us, then to much more in the Akhirah when we face Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to save us from ourselves. My brothers and sisters, everything begins with attitude. If we love something, then we need no encouragement to do it. On the other hand, if we find something to be meaningless, then all the money in the world will not put any energy and enthusiasm in our engagement with that activity. The same applies to religion. If we love Allah, then we will be encouraged to obey Him. We would love to obey Him as we look forward to our meeting with Him, Jalla Jalalu. And vice versa. If we don't love Allah, then we don't want to meet Him. We don't want to obey Him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who wants to meet Allah, Allah wants to meet him. And the one who does not want to meet Allah, Allah does not like to meet him. This doesn't mean you won't die. You will die, you will still go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you will go before somebody you didn't want to meet and somebody who doesn't want to meet you. And that's a huge, huge, huge problem. My brothers and sisters, the only people who had a guarantee of Jannah after the Anbiya alayhimus salam are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He called them the best generation. Khairul Quruni Kharni. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. And he said, after them, best generation is my generation, and after them, those who came after and those who came after. There's no guarantee for anyone else for Jannah. Now, the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ were a blessed group. They were taught directly by Nabi ﷺ. And in some cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also did their tarbiyah, as we will see, as we go along in this series of classes. They took the deen in its purest form from Rasulullah ﷺ directly. And then they took the message to the rest of the world. Today, the fact that all of us are Muslim is a mark of the excellence with which they fulfilled their duties. Now, Surah Al-Hujurat is a surah of the Quran which has perhaps the maximum number of instructions about attitude and behavior with respect to Rasulullah ﷺ and the akhlaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. There is a mention about these things also in Surah Al-Ahzab, in Surah Al-Nur, and other places, but in this surah, these matters are stated very clearly and powerfully. And that's why I thought it would be a good idea for us to focus on this most critical of matters, adab, as that is the foundation of our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasulihi wattaqullah innallaha samiun alim. Which means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, and we'll come to that meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi wala tajharu lahu bil qawli kajahri ba'dikum li ba'd an tahbata amalukum wa antum la tash'urun innal ladhina yaghudduna aswatahum 'inda rasulillahi ulaika alladhina imtahana Allahu qulubahum lit-taqwa lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun 'azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, the first three ayat, which means, O you who believe, do not put yourself forward, do not try to go ahead of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and have fear of the anger of Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and do not speak aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest, if you do that, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you do not see it. Verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for taqwa, for piety, and for them is forgiveness and a great reward. In this beautiful ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done two things. One, He has given us instructions of how to behave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how to look at ourselves, how to test ourselves, to see whether we have taqwa or not. Today you might say, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in the 7th century, I didn't live at that time, I'm living now in the 21st century. How to behave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obviously interesting, but how does it apply to me? How it applies to you and me today is, how do we behave with the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The instructions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Sahaba were to how to behave with his person as well as speech. Today we deal with his speech. This book, Asbab al-Nuzul, by the great scholar Ali al-Wahidi, it is narrated that Abu Zubair radiallahu anhu related that horsemen from Banu Tamim went to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, appoint Al-Qaqa ibn Ma'bad as their leader. Umar radiallahu anhu on the other hand, he said, no, appoint Al-Aqra ibn Habis as their leader. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, you just want to oppose me. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't want to oppose you. And they argued to the extent that they raised their voices on each other. About this incident, these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were revealed. And this is from Bukhari, from Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn As-Sabah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not put yourself forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. O you who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not speak to him aloud in the way that you talk to each other, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless and worthless while you do not even know. Meaning that treat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very different way from the way you treat each other. First, don't say something which goes against what he has said. Don't put yourself forward, meaning don't give an opinion before you have heard his opinion. And if you have heard his opinion, don't give an opinion which is contrary to that. And second thing is, don't raise your voice, meaning just the voice itself, also contradicting what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. This amounts to raising your voice. So it's the actual physical raising of the voice. Means don't shout in his presence and so on. This is not the way to talk to him. Don't talk to him like the way you talk to each other. He's not one of your buddies. So talk to him with the respect that is due to the Messenger of Allah. And when you speak to him, do that in a way where you don't contradict what he's saying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a very, very severe warning. Allah said, if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out all your deeds and you will not even know. Meaning that if you behaved with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the respect that is due to him as the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, you will find that your account, book of accounts is clean. It has nothing in it. It is blank, not clean, it is blank. All the good you did in this world is wiped out because you were disrespectful to the Nabi alayhi salam. Being disrespectful to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in today's time means to deny his ahadith, to go against his statements, to make fun of what he said, to decry them, to disparage what he said, to treat that with disregard. All of these things amount to that. Thabit bin Qais ibn Shimas radiallahu anhu was a famous qari of the Quran and one of the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very much. Now, he was hard of hearing. So, when he spoke, he always raised his voice. He used to speak loudly. When these ayat were removed, when these ayat were revealed, Thabit bin Qais radiallahu anhu stopped coming to the masjid. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after a couple of days, he asked about him. He says, where is he? Anas radiallahu anhu said that when this ayat was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Nabi, Thabit bin Qais said, I am the one who used to raise his voice above the voice of Rasulullah. Therefore, I am in the hellfire. Because Allah said, he'll wipe out the deeds. So if Allah has wiped out the deeds, then my deeds are gone. So I'm in the hellfire. So this they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said, go to him and tell him that he is from the people of Jannah. Now imagine, this is the wages of adab. Here was a man who, the ayah didn't come for him, it was not nothing to do with him, but he took it upon himself and he said, wallahi, I raise my... Now, he was not raising his voice as a matter of lack of adab. This, he was hard of hearing, and like most people who are hard of hearing, he used to raise his voice. So when he raised his voice, and when that was brought to his, when the ayat was revealed, he took it on himself and he said, Subhanallah, this means that I am finished. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged him and he said, no. He said, tell him that he is from the people of Jannah. And then he started coming back to the majlis. The sahaba used to point to him and say, there is a man of Jannah. There goes a man of Jannah. Ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu said, after this ayat was revealed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could hardly hear what Umar bin Khattab used to say to him radiallahu anhu. He had to ask him again and again, hey, what did you say? What did you say? Now, this was because Sayyidina Umar also had a powerful voice. He was a big man. Now, some people have said that Sayyidina Umar put some pebbles in his mouth. And he used to talk with those pebbles so that his voice couldn't be raised. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have to ask him again and again. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, when the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were revealed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu vowed to himself that he would speak to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only in a whisper. And that is when, verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. This ayat was revealed as a result of this wow of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This ayat was revealed for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to encourage him and to reward him for making this statement to say, I will speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only in a whisper. My brother and sister, these were glorious people. These were people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially favored. Our relationship to them is alhamdulillah that we are from the same ummah. These are the people who are our leaders, our elders, and we need to follow them. And if we follow them, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah for all those who follow the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in bil ihsan. Now, my brothers and sisters, these are the gold standard. Now, what must we do in our own context? How do we understand these ayat? And what must we do and what must we guard against? These ayat are not simply important because they are the ayat of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are even more important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined our attitude towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us what that attitude should be, and he told us in clear terms what would happen if we failed to develop this attitude. These ayat teach us manners, This ayat teaches us how to deal with Rasulullah ﷺ and his blessed sunnah. There are three matters in these ayat. The first one is how to deal with orders and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two, what if you argue with these orders or refuse to accept them? And number three, what of those who accept the orders and bow in submission? So let us look at each of these. First one, how do you deal with the orders and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam along with himself to reiterate the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the lawgiver. Allah said, putting yourself forward before Allah and his messenger. Now this refers to elevating our own opinion and desire in competition with the order of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This form of address Allah and his messenger has come many times in the Quran to emphasize the importance and the high status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to emphasize that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only conveys the orders of Allah. The orders of Allah and his messenger are never at odds and they are never contradictory to one another. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Allah said he does not speak of his own volition. He doesn't speak of his own desire. He speaks only what has been revealed to him. What Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is always in support of and explaining what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already ordered. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to. This ayah also and its meaning and instruction that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be obeyed without question or argument, even to the extent of accepting his rulings, not only outwardly, but also in the heart. This is supported by several other ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equated disobedience or obedience of not disobedience. Allah equated obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to obedience to himself. This doesn't confer a divine status on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but underlines the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say anything of his own will. He only said what he was ordered to say by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man yuti' rasula faqad ata Allah, wa man tawalla فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, "He who obeys the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad, as a watcher over them." The matter that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only orders what he is instructed to is even more clearly spelt out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat of Surah An-Najm, which I mentioned to you before, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Allah said he does not speak of his own desire. It's only wahi that is sent. Allah made complete obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a condition of iman, and said that anyone who didn't obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely, both inwardly and outwardly, is not even a Muslim. I invite those who speak against the sunnah to reflect on what they are doing to themselves and of the day when they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, what if you argue with these orders or refuse to accept them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by himself and declared that anyone who doesn't accept the ruling of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has exited Islam. What can be more severe and stronger than a ruling than the ruling of Allah himself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Fala wa rabbika la yu'minuna hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum thumma la yajidu fi anfusihim harajan mimma qadayta wa yusallimu taslima." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, but no, by your Rabb, Allah has taken oath by himself, they can have no iman. They do not have iman, they are not Muslim. They can have no iman until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the judge in all disputes between them, and they find in themselves, in their hearts, no resistance against your decisions, and they accept them with full submission. The ayat clearly mentions two things: accepting both outwardly and in your heart. This means to obey and to do that with complete acceptance and joy, not as a burden with bad grace. This happens only and only when we love Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the attitude of the believers as an attitude of complete and total and joyful obedience. Not only obeying, but being eager to obey and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Jannah. إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا أولئك هم المفلحون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, the only saying of the believers, of the faithful believers, when they are called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Quran, and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to judge between them, is that they say سمعنا وأطعنا, we hear and we obey. And such people are the successful ones. These are the people of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a blanket order to us, to the believers, to do whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do and to stop from whatever He stopped us from. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Allah said, and whatsoever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives you, take it. And whatsoever He forbids you, abstain from it. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment. This is in Surah Al-Hashr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a blanket thing. Whatever He tells you, obey. Whatever He stops you from, stop. And if you don't do that, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish. My brothers and sisters, the biggest sign of this fact is that in the Arkan, the pillars of Islam, which are all acts of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately left the implementation, how to do it, the methodology of it, to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to explain. In the Kalima, in the Salah, in Zakat, in fasting, in Hajj, we have to and we must look to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see how each of these acts of ibadah are to be done. We have to see how they are to be done. We have to see what is the value of them. If something goes wrong, how must I correct it? All of these are not given in the Quran. These are given in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to reflect on these ayat and to ask yourself, if Allah said in all these cases, make my messenger the judge between yourselves and accept without question and without resistance whatever judgment He passes and take whatever He gives you and leave whatever He forbids you from, would He then have allowed the teachings and rulings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be corrupted and to be lost and be forgotten? If this were true, how could we follow Islam? If we believe this, then believe me, we are blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of injustice. This is the false doctrine of those who seek to reduce the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to replace His authority with their own authority about what is right and what is wrong. These are the people, I won't name any names, but you know the names, who promote this issue of rejecting hadith, issue of putting their own opinion and saying, this is what the hadith says, but I don't agree, I have a contrary opinion. Most welcome, please do that. But read the ayat of the Quran about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said will happen to you if you do that. I rest my case. Point number 3. What of those who accept the orders and bow in submission? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself guaranteed Jannah for the Sahaba and for those who follow them in excellence. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah said, verily, those who lower their voices, meaning those who accept, those who bow in submission to the orders of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who lower their voices in the presence of Allah's Messenger, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested for piety. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. My brothers and sisters, this ayah, as I mentioned, came in the honor of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, but its meaning applies to those who submit to the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do not put their own opinions forward and desires forward above the orders of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All those today who seek to make music halal, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, all those who seek to deny the importance of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of their appearance, all those who seek to introduce customs and practice practices into Islam that Rasulullah prohibited, they must reflect on what they are doing to themselves. Why are they so insistent on refusing the bashara of Jannah? Because remember, the bashara is only for those who lower their voices, meaning who submit their own opinions to the teachings of Rasulullah. I will not even mention those who mock the sunnah and make fun of the sunnah, because there are other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dealt with them specifically. For this lesson, it is sufficient for us to have the best belief about our brothers and sisters that their disobedience is because of a lack of knowledge and is not a sign of rebelliousness. So let us become aware of the attitude of the people of Jannah and inculcate those attitudes in ourselves so that we may be included in that list. It will be necessary to reflect and face some painful facts and make some changes in lifestyle and in friendships. Allahu musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Sahaba, and he mentioned what will happen to those who follow them in excellence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالصَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوًا وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah said, in the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them exactly. The first to embrace Islam among the immigrants and the helpers, the Muhajirun and the Ansar, the people who went from Makkah to Medina and the people who supported them in Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the first to embrace Islam of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and also those who followed them in Ihsan, who followed them in excellence and exactly in faith, Allah is well pleased with them and they are well pleased with Him. He has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever. That is supreme success. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat, if Allah had said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوًا, this ayat would be complete. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors for all the generations to come thereafter, including you and me. If we follow the Sahaba in excellence, then Allah left the door open for us to be their companions in Jannatul Firdaus. Inshallah, we ask Allah for this. Because Allah said, وَسَابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْسَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and those who follow them bil ihsan. We ask Allah to make us among those who follow the Sahaba bil ihsan. My brothers and sisters, remember that this guarantee is not for anything other than following the Sahaba faithfully without question. It's a guarantee only for those who submit to the Sunnah, not for those who think they know the Deen better than the Sahaba. And that's why I began with my quote on attitude, because it is attitude which is at the root of all good and evil. It was the attitude of Iblis which drove his action of rebellion, which produced the result of eternal damnation. And it was the attitude of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, our father and mother, which drove their behavior of seeking forgiveness and led them to being forgiven. Remember, when Iblis, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam also disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the matter came, when it was drawn to their attention, what did they say? They said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Oh Allah, we have transgressed against ourselves. We have committed a sin. Oh Allah, forgive us. And if you don't forgive us, we will be among the losers. And what did Iblis do? Iblis first of all justified what he did. Yeah, he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ, I am superior to him, and أَخَيْرٌ مِنْهُ, I am better than him, because you made me from fire and you made him from clay. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned him, he said, أَنْذِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he said, give me time until the day of resurrection. Now this is the difference in attitude. When we commit a sin, we are human beings, we will make mistakes. But when we commit a mistake, do we immediately seek forgiveness, or do we say, let me have some time, let me wait, let me and delay it? Which one do we do? Because if we do not accept our mistakes, if we do not make istighfar and tawbah, if we do not change our ways, then we are following the way of shaitan, and you know and I know where that leads us. My brothers and sisters, therefore, let us check our own attitude towards the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see if it is one that is likely to get us to Jannah or to the other place. Let us ask, am I serving Islam or am I using Islam to serve my nafs? Which one? Let us ensure that we don't allow our so-called knowledge to become a trap for us. Knowledge without practice, ilm without amal is like a horse without a rider. It may be the fastest horse in the world, but without a rider, it will have no direction or drive, and it will never win a race. So stop collecting horses and learn to ride. Practice what you know. I remind myself and you, let us practice what we know. Let us create metrics to measure how well we are submitting our will to the will of Allah. Measure the number of sunnah that we follow. Let us do that. Especially at this time, we are sitting at home doing nothing in this coronavirus compelled isolation. Let us use that to examine our lives. Measure the number of sunnah you follow and measure the number of sunnah you break. Measure, because one day we will be measured. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, let us remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He created us for a purpose, and that purpose is to follow Him, to obey Him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us always to obey His orders and to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to Him jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, the key thing to do is, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and he said, whatever I tell you, do it to the best of your ability, and whatever I stop you from, stop completely. Now, see the difference between the two. The haram must be stopped completely, totally. There's no leeway in that. But what you are recommended, what's recommended for you, do it to the best of your ability. For example, praying tahajjud. Alhamdulillah, this is recommended. This was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many rakat should I pray? The man asked him, he came and asked him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Qiyamul Layl, which is tahajjud, how must I pray? He said, pray 2 by 2. He didn't give him a specific number. He didn't say pray 8 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 50. He said, pray 2 by 2. How many? As much as you can pray. Alhamdulillah. But in terms of what must I leave, right? Take, for example, my pet topic, which is interest-based earnings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah say? Allah said, if you don't leave it, then accept a declaration of war from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what can be more clear than that? What can be more severe than that? Similarly, other things. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, we leave immediately. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited, we leave immediately. What He asked us to do, we do it. But we do it to the best of our ability. Alhamdulillah, Allah did not put a condition on that it must be. Allah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to pray. Allah, and how must we pray? We must pray, our salah must be like the salah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the example we are following. But Allah did not say, for example, that until your salah is of the quality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will not accept it. Allah did not say that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as I mentioned in the hadith, Allah said, my slave who prays 5 times a day at the correct time. The time is in our control, alhamdulillah, we can pray at the correct time. But the quality of salah, inshallah, we would like it to be better. We must work on it, we must try to improve it. But Allah is not saying that I will reject this salah until it reaches the standard which I set. Because what is the standard? The standard is the salah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you might say that, you know, that was never going to happen in my life, illa mashallah. So then why should I pray at all? So this is the thing from shaitan, which shaitan tries to discourage you by creating this image. So no need to get discouraged. Alhamdulillah, we do what good has been told to us, we do it to the best of our ability. What we have been prohibited from, we stop completely. There's no leeway in that. For example, if I was not praying on time, now I know that is something that I have to stop. From when? From the next salah. Whichever salah is going to come now, I am going to pray that salah absolutely on time. There is no, I'm not going to play around with that. I'm going to pray. Allah said, "Fawailu lil musallin alladhina hum an salatihim sahun." Allah said, "Woe to the musallin, to the people who pray, who delay their salah."
So since delaying the salah is a sign of arrogance, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muazzin is announcing hayya ala salah, come to success, come to salah. Instead of that, we are saying, I will do it in my own good time. Meaning that when Allah's call comes, we put it aside because we have something more important in our lives to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, then I don't need your salah. Right? Fawailul lil musalleen. So we don't want to fall into that trap. But if you are praying on time, alhamdulillah, Allah did not hold us mukallaf on the quality of our salah. That does not mean we don't make effort. Obviously, it means we make effort. It means we try to do the best we can do. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, will inshallah, we ask Allah to accept our salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ana inda zanni abdi bi, I am for my slave as he expects me to be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat us with mercy because we are full of sin. There is nothing that we have to take to Allah except sin. But alhamdulillah, we take that with istighfar, with tawbah, and we request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, we ask him for his mercy, we ask him for his grace, we ask him for his Jannah, we ask him for the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in ways and from sources that we cannot imagine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us muttaqeen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with his nur, with the barakah of his khashiyya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill and make muzayyan and beautify and decorate our lives with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us muttabi'een of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to make us among those who follow the Sahaba bil ihsan, who follow the Sahaba at a level of excellence, and we ask Allah to give us what he promised to give those who follow them with excellence, which is Jannatul Firdaus bi ghayri hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy for all the people in the world. We make istighfar and tawbah on behalf of all the people in the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us all from all kinds of calamities and ailments and problems. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.